Congressman Chris Pappas, the incumbent Democrat, officially filed, I believe, now running again, of course. And he joins us live, GMI Studios. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jack. Good morning.
Good. I bet you've been to Geno's, right?
I have. It's been a couple of years. But I intend to get back, and good to know they have some early hours later this week.
Hey, a lot going on. And what do you expect Congress to do? Do you think anything will happen this week on gun control legislation? If so, what do you think? I know it's a lot going on in the Senate, but what are you seeing there?
Well, look, there are bipartisan negotiations happening in the Senate. And, you know, I hope they come up with a workable plan here because something needs to be done. And I think we just can't keep watching the same thing play out in this country day after day. Without understanding that, we've got to take additional steps to promote public safety, to close some of the loopholes that exist in the law and make sure that they're enforced appropriately across the country. And I know that you know, senators on both parties are having those conversations. We're taking up some legislation in the House that would do a few things. It would raise the age where someone could purchase an assault weapon, a semi-automatic rifle, from 18 to 21 years. That puts it in line with the age purchase for handguns, and I think that's appropriate, and I think that we can find some bipartisan support for that. And look, you know, it's just tragic to see what happened in Texas. We see gun violence happening in our own communities. It's a daily experience here in the United States. I was with the Manchester police chief later last week talking about this issue in the Justice for Chandler organization that's been doing good work about engaging community members. So this is a conversation that just can't happen in Washington, D.C. It's got to happen in our communities as well. And there are a number of things to talk about when we talk about reducing violence in our communities. And I think we can find a way forward here to allow this to be a unifying conversation and not to divide us, because we all want our kids to be protected. We all want our communities to be safe. And that's exactly what this is about.
Representative Pappas on energy, Corey was saying this morning, where'd you see that hook set, Corey?
Yep.
$5.14 a gallon right off the interstate for gas, $5.14. And there doesn't seem to be any, I don't mean to do the analogy, Congressman, and please give me one moment on this, to the baby formula situation. But last week, the Biden administration, I think it was a good thing, they met with the private sector, the baby formula producers, to increase supply. And the reason why I bring this up with gas, I don't see any plan, any action. There's a lot of finger pointing. And we just had clips from Pete Buttigieg basically saying the White House doesn't set the price of oil. The companies do. And I know the talking points that the companies are hoarding profits, cutting back production, record profits, gouging the consumer. But would you think it would be smart or not for the White House or leadership in Congress, but maybe the White House, because they can be the point leader on stuff like this, the president, it's a singular person versus a body of many lawmakers, to get the energy producer company CEOs together in Washington for 4 or 5 days or a 3-day summit, let all the finger pointing happen, let everyone say everything, let the media cover it, but then at the end say, how can we boost production here? Because obviously gas is something, we're not all in electric vehicles yet, it'll be years. People have to heat their homes in Candia, New Hampshire, this fall with oil still, many homes. How can we get together with our own industry in the United States versus asking Saudi Arabia to produce more? And just say, what can we do to boost production here so we get a break here? Because supply will bring this down. But there doesn't seem to be any tendency at all to want to meet or talk with the oil companies. And I'm wondering, is that a mistake or not?
Well, look, I've got a small business background. I come out of the private sector, and you've got to engage companies because ultimately there's no magic spigot in the White House that to turn to increase production. You've got to work with those who are doing the work out there across the country. And we have seen production increase. In March, production rose to near record highs. We're still not up to the level that we were before the pandemic. As we know, pandemic has been disruptive to production. We've seen it around the world. So that's where we've got to look. And, you know, the administration has heeded our calls to tap the Strategic National Reserve. That's provided 1 million barrels a day. And in addition to that, I continue to push folks on both sides in Congress to do a gas tax holiday, provide some direct relief to people at the pump, and provide some more accountability for these companies as well, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of correlation between what they're producing today and the price people are paying at the pump. I filled up for $4.85, so a little bit less than what you saw in Hooksett this morning, but We know there's continued upward pressure here based on global prices, and the best thing we can do is have the domestic supply that we need that's adequate. So, you know, the administration has got to do more, and I think you're absolutely right. They've got to engage with the private sector on this to make sure that Americans are seeing the relief that they need.
And Representative Pappas, before I let you go, the Supreme Court, we just had Nicole Wilson on, NBC national correspondent. You know, their session's winding down. Most experts agree there'll be a decision on that case that indirectly or directly could greatly impact Roe v. Wade. Do you expect the court to essentially overturn Roe versus Wade and return to the states, or do you think that that's a premature conclusion, that wait and see what they vote? I mean, what are you expecting the court to do, or is it hard to predict?
Well, I expect the court to be in line with the decision that leaked out, the draft decision that came out about a month ago. And so we'll see. But clearly, the votes appear to be there to overturn Roe. And I think that's a dangerous moment for women and families here in New Hampshire and across the country. There's no reason for government to be interfering in very personal decisions like these. And so this is about freedom. And I hope, regardless of what the court does, that we've got the ability in Congress and state legislatures to make sure that women and families are making these decisions and not politicians or judges.
Chris Pappas, Representative, incumbent Democrat, 1st District. Thanks for joining us live, GMI Studios, on this Monday morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Be well.